We're going to be blocking you guys a little bit.
So did everyone have a blessed Christmas? This week I was thinking about the holiday coming up, New Year's, right? And so many people make New Year's resolutions. And how many of you are going to make a New Year's resolution or two? Okay. I have some bad news for you. And about 90% of them will be abandoned before February 1st. Now, I admit, I'm not a big resolution guy, but I'm going to not start something new, but I'm going to try to keep on getting to the Y and swimming on a regular basis. Now, the reason that resolutions don't often, they're not successful, is because we have to do it under our own power. All right. Now, for me, I have to force myself to go. I really do. I have to struggle. It's sheer willpower. Now, I look at it, and I'm not too sure that the Lord doesn't have a better deal for us. Right? If we're born again, right? Well, let me read it to you. This is from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17. It's one verse we all know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So, instead of a resolution, God gives us a new creation. Now, I asked him, I said, okay, Lord, can you give me an example that I can share? And I think back a number of years ago, I was blessed to be praying with a gentleman. He was in his late 60s and elder in his church. And for years, he'd carried around something that he hadn't shared with his wife, his pastor, anyone. He'd been sexually molested by an uncle when he was 11. And we prayed, and the Lord brought him a new, Romans 12:2, renewing of the mind, gave him a different way to look at it. He didn't have to carry the shame that, had he done anything to trigger this? Could he have done something to prevent it? What would the good people of his church think if they knew what had happened to him? The Lord brought, in effect, made him a new creation that day. And I think that it's a good example of grace, right? In the world's eyes, we need to, through our own willpower, make ourselves good enough for the Lord. And yet grace shows us that if we go to the Lord, he's looking for those that he can bless. He wants to make us a new creation. He believes in new beginnings. So this new year, I'm going to ask the Lord what he wants to make new in me and see what he does for me in that time. Would you all stand and join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you're a God of new beginnings, Lord. That you can take the old and make it new, and that we don't have to do it through our own struggles, that our job is to come to you, that you're just waiting for us with open arms, Lord, to come to you and say, change me, make my life new again. Lord, we thank you that you're that kind of God. And now, Lord, let us worship you, the God of new creations, the God of new beginnings, the God of new birth, the God of Jesus, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can we say Happy New Year? We're almost there, right? That's right. Happy New Year. Well, one of our family traditions, we don't do it all the time, but many times when we're getting ready to eat or some other time together, we'll sing the doxology, and I thought today it would be a wonderful way for us to start out the service today with the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Love so amazing.
Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are in all your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a good, good Father. Lord Jesus, we do love you. We praise you. Thank you, Father God. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. Sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, God. All our hope. Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
That's right, Jesus Messiah.
Oh, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord Jesus, we know that you are Lord of all, but Lord God, I pray that you will help each of us to put that knowledge into action and to truly make you Lord of all of our lives, Lord Jesus. Help us with that this day. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We do surrender all to you. Thank you, Jesus.
To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender, only at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender.
Time I surrender.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is our prayer, Lord God. Our prayer that we can surrender all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good job, Soph. Look at the, you're all ready. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you, though I came blazing in here. Oh, thanks, Lisa. That's so nice. I just love this. We are so down to earth. We are not fancy folks, but because of Jesus, we have been found faithful folks. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You know, I really like that song. Except for one thing, if I can just be blunt honest with you. You know that song, I Surrender All? Nowadays, it almost kind of seems like, you know, amongst a lot of the churches, I surrender not, or I surrender when it's convenient, I surrender just a little bit so I can feel better about myself. And I don't think that's what's going to give any of us, starting with myself, a freed, born again, joy-filled, spirit-filled life. Amen? So let's just take a minute right now, right where we're at. Nothing fancy, no big words. Let's just ask Jesus for that. Lord, this is a brand new year for us, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord God. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to you, Lord God. We confess our sin to you. You already know it, Lord. Lord, you desire to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask that you would do that, Lord. We ask that you would help us to surrender in every area of our life, Lord, that we might not be lights hidden under a bushel, Lord, or something like that, but we would be lights put up on a hill, Lord God, for all the world to see, Lord. Not reflecting our own glory, but lighting up and reflecting your glory, the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask for your help in every area of our life, that we could raise our hands up to you and say, in true faith, that I surrender all to my God, my King, my Lord, and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we got a few announcements to go over real quickly. We have Panera Bread. And when I say we have Panera Bread, I mean there's at least, and I actually brought them this time, there's like three or four, I think, bags full from last night of Panera Bread. And we're talking these beautiful loaves of bread like this, baguettes, bagels. Go back there, take as much as you can. Take it home to your family. It's just a gift to you in Jesus' name from all of us here at the church, okay? It's in the back on the on the tables back there. Yes, Andy.
Take a loaf and give it to someone that's homeless.
And you know what? You can also do that. Take a loaf, give it to your neighbor, give it to him. But when you do, just give it to him as a gift in Jesus' name, okay? Take it with you. Give it to a homeless, give it to your neighbor, give it to your friends, give it to your family in Jesus' name. Okay. So you guys know we're not going to take up tithes and offerings. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated, but you can give by putting your tithes and offerings in the little bird box in the back hallway there. As far as missions go, we're having a special thing that we're doing to the end of this month. I'm going to skip that for today, George. Or George, did you? Is there something you wanted to say, or did you do that last week?
I don't know if we did
it last week. See, this is what happens when you get older. Mature. No, that was me. All right. Well, I'll wait on that one. But Paul and Marcia Cowley, I will tell you again, they're training to the pastors of the least of these in the slums of Kenya, literally cities where this is how they live: dirt floors, tin roofs. Millions of people, and they train up the pastors that live in these cities. They'll probably never get out. The mafia even owns the water holes. So if you want water, you have to pay the mafia or they will kill you. This is how they're all used to living. And God is raising up pastors right there. And what we're doing, Bibles are about $12 a piece. We're supplying Bibles for all the pastors that are being trained up there. And so if you would like to put that in addition to your tithes, just when you write your check, just put Bibles for Kenya. Okay, they're $12 a piece, however many you want to buy. Just put them in there in Jesus' name. Our goal what we're going to do in Jesus' name is supply 60 of them for 60 pastors this month. And so if you want to do that and be a part of what God's doing, please put that in the back. It doesn't go to us, it goes to them. That's this month. So if you want to do that, if you come next week and you put it in there, we'll apply it to to the next time we do it. But yes.
Did you want to make a comment?
I'll wait, George. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Okay, could be the Saints. I'm going to stay off some of this stuff real quickly, so please forgive me. If you do want to join us for prayer Sunday mornings, we would love to have you come out here. Gary, where are you there? Hi, Gary. Gary leads our prayers at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. We'd love to have you come out and join us and pray for the community. Men's Bible studies, first and third Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Is there anything?
We're taking the first off.
Taking the first off, okay. And you call yourself a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible. He knows I'm kidding. Okay, so we got men's Bible studies, first and third Tuesday, 6 p.m. And then we have women's Bible studies on the second Tuesday, going through the book of Ephesians. If you need more information, you can call Erica. Erica, are you here today? I didn't see you. Didn't see you. Oh, she's okay. Take over. Also, Wednesday youth group, Josh and Amanda Panda. Josh, I think I saw you here. Just raise your hand. So if you're interested in youth group, you can talk to Josh and Amanda Panda. Have you done any more about the Taekwondo? I'll wait on that. Should I wait? Just wait. Okay, we'll do. Okay. Also, listen, Experiencing God course, Knowing the Will of God. Okay, there's a sign-up sheet somewhere. I'm thinking back. Laura, do you have it? Can you hold that up high? Okay, there's a sign-up sheet right there. It's a 14-week course. It's going to be starting on the 10th of January. It's probably one of the best Bible studies we've ever taught. And it's going to help you to learn how to know God's will, how to see God working, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's going to challenge you in your faith. If you're seeking the Lord, it's going to rock your world. There's going to be homework, so I'm not going to mince it. You're going to need your own workbook. It's going to be maybe about 30 minutes a night or so for 5 days a week. And because I want everybody to know what you're getting into. But I'm also going to tell you, if you start it, finish it, and I guarantee God will move in your heart and in your life. I can't stress enough and encourage you enough to come out and join this Bible study. If you want, you can put your name on that sheet. And the workbooks are $15 a piece. You will need your own workbook. You can't use your husband's or your wife's because we want you to do your own work. And so that I would encourage you as much as possible, even if you have to stop doing something else, even for that time, my devotions or whatever. This is such a fantastic course in helping you to learn how to seek and to know God's will just for that 14-week period. Please sign up. Also, hey, just wanted to thank everybody that came out for the self-defense class that we had, and all the money went to raise Bibles, and we raised at least enough for, I think, about 10 Bibles. And so we had 11 girls that came. Is that correct? Okay, and I know next Friday, right? That was for girls only. Now, next Friday is for everybody.
It's for the boys and open to anybody who wants to come.
Okay. Okay, I know that, and you said, yeah, I was going to take me, for example, Nehemiah, Elijah, and Hezekiah, but you're saying Ezekiel can come too? Okay. And here's something else. We didn't send it out to school, so maybe we'll do another one for the school in the future, but we'll talk about that. So anyway, next Friday, a self-defense course, 3 hours here, correct, from 6 to 9, and so we just encourage you to come out. If you need more information, Anthony, raise your hand. You can talk to Mr. Anthony, and Christmas party, you got to see all those pictures. But it was just so fun to see Gary in an elf suit again. And Isabel, it's just great. Okay, so anyway, all right, let's zip through these, zippy-doo-dah. Yes? You may. Did you get to hit Mr. Anthony? That's what I really wanted to know. Wow, see, that in itself. Would you mind grabbing that microphone from that little so-so?
There you go. Put it up to your mouth, please.
If you're nervous about coming because, I was nervous because I'm old. And I will tell you that Anthony did a phenomenal job in making the ladies feel not so awkward. We had fun. We had some laughs. But he really taught a really good class that a lot of it is common sense that we don't think about. And the other is just knowing the different things that you can do. And I want to commend him because I'm sure he was kind of nervous being around all of us women. But I think he was surprised at what some of the women could do. And I think some of the women were surprised at what they could do. But he's trying to help us keep ourselves safe. And I would recommend that pass that information on to your girlfriends, to anybody that you know, because you never know, you know, who's out there. And I just want to thank Anthony for taking the time, especially for making a special class for the women, because we feel a little awkward about around you macho guys. And it really made a difference, and I thank you for it.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Thanks. All right, so last week we went through the Christmas dilemma, and we talked about five people, right? We looked at five different people. We talked about Mary. We talked about Joseph and the dilemmas they had, the challenges God put them in. We talked about the innkeeper. We talked about the wise men, and we talked about the shepherds. If there is something that you want to share that impacted you, you can raise your hand and we'll bring you the mic. But as we went through this, it was very apparent that God was working last week. I mean, I don't know how many people were in tears. Just God was just moving. And I don't know when God does that. It's all God, you know. And men, women, and Mary had her dilemma, her Christmas dilemma, was saying yes to God's word when God spoke to her. And the neat thing about Mary's dilemma is that's the same as our time, right? Sometimes we have a hard time saying yes to what God's asking us to do, right? Get this out of your life. I want to challenge you here to move forward there. But Mary said this. She said, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. That's what each of our hearts today needs to be the same way. Lord, I don't want to know what a psychologist has to say, not downing them. I don't want to know what the news has to say. I don't want to know what my friends has to say as the most important thing. I want to know what you have to say. So, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you want, I want to do. And let it be according to your word. That's what being a Christian is. We're in submission, right? Not to our own thoughts, not to our own feelings. Isn't that true? We're in submission to God's word. That's what we need to be. That's the direction. And I love it that she said, blessed is she, or the angel said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And when you trust in him, and when you believe those promises, God comes through and you're blessed. You're blessed when you do. You know you are. When you do what God commands, you know you're blessed by him. And that was Mary's dilemma. Joseph's dilemma. You remember that? The dilemma of doubting God's plan. Man, especially, I don't know if girls go through this as much, but guys sure do. We are plan makers. Do you know what I'm saying? We are engineers. We are logic. I'm not saying women are not. Okay, don't attack me later. What are you trying to say, Pastor Darren? I'm simply saying, guys, we usually look at things very logically. And so we get our plans. But the Lord, you know what? If we're his servants, if we're his children, then it's not up to us. And the Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We need to be seeking him first in his kingdom, because all the rest will be added unto us when we do what he asks us to do. Then we talked about the innkeeper and the dilemma of discipleship. And God asks us, he says, I want you to follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me daily. And I like how Luke 14:33 says this. And this is what we mean in our heart. God has to be first. That innkeeper, whether it's money or this or popularity or prestige, God says, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. I don't know what it is about that verse, but that kind of smacks me in the face. But it's true. God comes first. And then the wise men, they had the dilemma of obedience. They had to learn to obey. And John 14:21 says, those who accept my commands and obey them, they are the one who loves me. And anyone who loves me, John 14:23, will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. That's beautiful. If we obey him, Jesus promises, I'm going to make my home in your heart. That's awesome. As we choose to obey him, you're giving, it's like you're opening the door to Jesus and saying, I want you to be at home with me, Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I missed one. And then the shepherds, the dilemmas of all. They were the worst of the worst. And I really like that God announced it to the shepherds first, because I don't know about you, I kind of feel sometimes like I was one of the worst of the worst. The lowest of the low. You know, Paul said, man, I was the worst of sinners. You wouldn't even know, you know. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. Yet God saved me. And he told the shepherds too. And God, this is God. And it pleases God, our Savior, that he wants all people to be saved. And he wants them to come to know the truth. I love that about our God. And God was speaking to people last week. And this is just what I want to say to you. Hebrews 4:7 says something very important. You know, I don't know how many people were crying. You know, 10, 20, 30, 40, there was a lot. 40 people. And here's the thing. That's the King of the universe saying, I love you enough. Think about this. Billions of people on the planet. Billions. And he is coming, and he is speaking to you. And he's speaking to me. That is an amazing thing. Now the thing is, what do you do with it? So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like they did in the rebellion. Open your hearts. Do something about it. If he spoke something to you, if he loves you that much, whatever it is, just do it. Just obey him. And watch God work. Okay. I'm going to skip that one. All right, so for our New Year's message, and some folks asked, hey, are we going to finish up Daniel? We still have a chapter left, two chapters left. And I said, oh, yes, yes we do. So thank you for all those people who reminded me. We will be doing that, Lord willing, next week. But our New Year's message is the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. And kind-hearted Chris and Elijah, would you grab some Bibles? Just raise your hand and Chris will, and Elijah will bring one to you. George, I'm going to have you do that movie in just a minute. Do you mind? I don't know if you're ready for that, Jorge. Yeah, I know. Actually, what I'm doing is thinking and praying at the order of what he wants done. Matthew 25. So, all right, George, would you mind if we played that video now? Is that going to be okay?
That will be perfect.
All right, I'm going to mute myself, and we'll just play our New Year's message, and then we'll go forward from there. Okay? Thanks. I don't know if you heard that, but God is so funny. Because when we're talking about the new year, this is how God works sometimes. Okay, when we talked about plans, right, like Joseph. Okay, I just want you to know, that video you just saw was not the video that I intended to download and show. I was in such a hurry, I just click, click, clicked without looking, zipped it out, put it on a zip drive, and showed it. But I have to tell you, in all honesty, those were the things I was going to be talking about just really quickly as a segue. Look at this. The same scriptures. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. A lot of times we've got so much broken, you know, in our lives, and we're trying to fix it ourselves. But how about if we really want things fixed in our lives, we fix our eyes on Jesus. The same thing. Let's fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. It's the same exact scriptures. Let us run the race with endurance. That's marked out for us. It's this one I don't think was in it, but I run in the path of your commands, for you've set my heart free. God wants us to run and to keep our eyes fixed on him as we go through this new year. You know, the world has tons of stuff to offer us, and most of it is not too nutritious. I saw this, I don't know if you can see this cereal box. Can you hit that light just for a second, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, so I bought this cereal. Okay, Cocoa Marshmallow Madness. Can you see this? Cocoa Marshmallow Madness. Okay? To me, the Lord just said, this was like a week ago, just buy it. Yeah. I said, okay, I'm gonna buy it. And then he said, oh, I want you to use it as an illustration. See, a lot of us are working for things that the world can provide. Listen, there's nothing wrong with working hard, right? God wants us as Christians to work hard, right? He wants us to work for our food, but he wants us to work. Jesus said, I want you to work for things that don't perish, right? I want you to work for things that last for eternity. This Cocoa Marshmallow Madness cereal, I started looking at it, and it says, look, no more picking cereal out of your marshmallows. And then I started looking at before, it's at the logo here, you can't see it. It says, it's sugar. And then, no kidding, it actually says this, absolutely no nutritional value added on the box. On the back, it says, oh no, cereal somehow, this is a little puzzle, cereal somehow made its way into the delicious bowl of marshmallows. Please, careful not to scoop some up while finding your way to the marshmallow madness. And if you look at it, the grams for sugar, actually, I don't even want to, it's like per serving, 78 grams of sugar.
Oh my goodness.
Now, let me tell you, as a kid, as an immature kid, I would be like, sure. This would be like heaven for us.
Eat the box instead.
You'd be probably better off to eat the box instead of this. But it looks so great, doesn't it? I mean, to me, this is what the world has to offer us. See, the world wants you working for sugar. Marshmallow madness. You know what happens when you eat a marshmallow or you eat cotton candy? Have you ever eaten cotton candy? You put it in your mouth, it's, and you chew on it, there's really nothing there. It just sort of dissolves into nothing. See, that's the same way when we're working for things that are not directed by the Lord and towards the Lord's purposes. Just like the box says, no nutritional value. Hello? That's what working for the world is all about. Listen, if God's called you, he has a purpose for you. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to ask, Erica, do you have the thing by, would you mind, do you mind reading? Are you okay? It just says you're right there and your daughter has the mic. It'll give me a chance to actually find my Bible and open up.
Matthew, what was that?
Matthew chapter 25. Okay. Verses, what do I have? Oh, I don't even have it up on the screen. So sorry, kids. 25:14-30.
Okay.
If you don't mind reading that, and that'll just give me a chance to open my Bible and get there myself. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14. And everybody should have their Bible. Mm-hmm, good. I love to see all those Bibles open. Love to hear the pages rustling. Even you electronic people, I see your fingers shuffling. That's still okay. All right. So would you mind reading that for me?
Absolutely. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, you're not going to hear that in a seeker-sensitive church. But that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus talks about. And so we need to hear it. You know, in so many of our churches today, they're talking about the parable of the talents. You know, we talked about, in 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins. And some had the Holy Spirit oil on their lamps and some didn't. And that parable was a parable, I would say, of being ready. Okay? God was trying to say, listen, I want you to be ready at all times. Be focused. Be ready for my coming. I'm coming back. I want you to be ready. And if that parable about the 10 virgins was about being ready, this parable about the 10 talents was about being working, to be working. The first was to be ready. This is about to be working. I want you to be working. I want you to be about your Father's business. I've got a purpose and a plan for you. I've given you eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, a personality. I've given you gifts, abilities, talents, you name it. And I want you to be working, not working for food that spoils or for stuff that fulfills your own selfish desires, but I want you to be working for me. You work for, really, you don't work where you think you work. You work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because without him, you wouldn't even be drawing a breath. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. Too many folks today are almost like that, I don't want to surrender all. Yeah. It reminds me of a story, and I jotted it down. It's like there's too much of this. Church is filled with folks that are kind of faker bakers. And listen, and maybe you're not a faker baker. Maybe you're seeking the Lord right here, right now, and God is wanting to speak to you. Well, God wants you to say, I want you to be born again. I want you to come over to my side. I want you to hear what I have to say. too many people are like the consultant who had just opened his new business, and he had gotten his new office all set up. He got it all organized, pictures on the wall, fancy furniture, so that when you come in, it would look amazing. It would look powerful. It would look cool. It would look top of the line. And so as he sat behind his desk, a man walked up to the door of his new corporate headquarters and walked into the office. And as soon as that man walked through the door and walked into the office, the man got on the phone. And he started talking. And maybe you heard the story, but he wanted to look important. And so the consultant immediately reached for the telephone, he picked it up, and he had a lengthy conversation with the president. And in fact, most of the conversation involved him telling the president how he should do things, how he should run things, and consulting with him, and supposedly answering questions by the president and giving wise counsel and astute answers to the president. And after the man stood in front of the consultant's desk for a long period of time listening to this, the man behind the desk did something, and he hung up the phone, all kind of self-righteous, leaned forward and said, "Yeah, pardon me, sir. I'm so sorry to make you wait. I was just, you know, speaking to the president. Now, though, after we've been having this great conversation with the president, how can I help you?" And the guy said, and I quote, "Oh," said the man, "you can do nothing for me. I'm just here to hook up your phone." And I think too many people are having this pretend conversation with God, and the phone's not even hooked up. Now listen, as we go through this parable of the talents, I want you to really pay attention to the Christians. It's a parable, it's a two words, parabole. And it means para, which we get our word parallel from, to lay alongside. And bole means to throw down seeds. So what we're doing, a parable is a picture truth, is laid alongside a truth, okay? And so this parable of the talents is being laid alongside to give you like an illustration, example of the truth. And this is what God says in his word as we go through this. Can you hit the lights just for a second there, Christopher? Thanks, buddy. God wants us to be working, okay? He doesn't want us to be pew potatoes. You know what a couch potato is, right? Kind of like,
just watch the click, click, click all the time.
He doesn't want us to be pew potatoes. In Colossians 4:5, God's saying this to Christians. If you're a born-again Christian here, if you're professing Christians, if your phone's hooked up, and even if it's not, God's saying, hook up the phone. I want you to listen to me. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Now, if I had $10 every time someone came to me, like either from the youth group or Bible study, and somebody had given their life to Christ, but they'd been there for like a year or two, and they said, I never realized that they weren't a Christian. Listen, God wants us to be purposeful, making the most of every opportunity that we've been giving. He wants us to be working. He says, I want your actions, your words, your thoughts, what you do, what you don't do, to be about me. He says, let your conversations always be filled with grace, the love of the Lord, Jesus Christ. I want it to be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Do you know what salt was used for in the Bible?
Preservation,
yes, good. What else?
Pull out the sweetness.
Okay, good.
Flavor,
absolutely. Yes, what else does salt do? If you're sitting in a movie theater and you just come in with a big old tub of popcorn and you start munching on it, what happens to you after a short period of time? You get thirsty. Salt is to make you thirsty too. And that's for the living water of Jesus Christ. So that's what our lives are supposed to be about. In fact, Ephesians 5:15-17 says this. It's pretty blunt. Don't waste your life. It says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. He has a purpose and a mission. Are you doing what he's asked you to do? All right. Let's go through these verses, verse by verse, all right? And let's see what God has for us here. He says again, it will be like, well, what does he say? It, the kingdom of God. He's telling what the kingdom of God is going to be like. It's going to be like a man going on a journey. Now, who is that man, do you think that's talking about in this parable? Jesus. That's good. Yes, good. Well, we're all on a journey, yes. But in this context, this man that he's talking about in the parable, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. That man going on a journey, that's Jesus Christ. In John 14, that's okay, listen. In a sense, yes, I'll tell you that in a second. Good question. In John 14, it says, he's talking to his disciples in verse 3, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And so he talks about, in John 14, about going on a journey, but coming back for his people. And so in this particular parable of what Jesus is talking about, that the man is Jesus. So again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey, and he is going on that long journey. And he called his servants. Who's his servants, do you think? It's us, right? His disciples, us. We're the Christians, right? So Jesus, right? He died on the cross. He rose again. But he's coming back for us. He's on a journey. And so in the meantime, he's put his servants, his douloses, that's what the Greek word is, in charge. So he's giving you charge, each of us, a mission. And then he says this. He says, I'm going on a journey, and he called his servants, and he entrusted his property to them. Now, God has entrusted you. This is all his. Do you guys understand that, right? When I say this is all his, I mean this is all his. I mean the church is his, the school is his, your home is his, this country is his, the planet is his. You get where I'm going with it? Your finances are his. Your abilities are his. It's all from him. So all this he's given you, and he's entrusted it to you. And he's saying, I've given you, Chris, certain gifts and abilities. Now, you make your money, you work out a living, you do those things, but I want you really to use those gifts and abilities, God says, for me. I've given you a personality, Victor. I've given you a mouth, and I want you to speak about me. I've given you the gift of hospitality. You just heard how, Anthony was very welcoming. Hey, you can use that to be selfish and manipulate people for your own gain, couldn't you? I want you to use it for me. Joel, you help people with cars all the time. I'm giving you these gifts and abilities. I want you to use it for me. I'm entrusting it to you. That word in Greek is a neat word. It's called paradidomi. What? That fancy word, when it says entrusted, that's a great translation. It means, what does it mean? It means like to hand over, but to do it in an honoring way. So he's saying, God is saying, I'm entrusting this to my servants. Commend is another word, okay? Like if I were to hand my children over to somebody, I would say, you know, maybe Lisa and I were going away for a couple months. For a getaway, just for us. I'm sorry. I digress. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Back to reality. So sorry. But I would make sure that I put them with folks that I absolutely trust them. And I would say, I'm commending my children into your care. That's the word here. Does that make sense? Paradidomi. I'm entrusting you. So this is the master entrusting his servants. It's a position of honor. Like, what's more precious to me than my kids? Other than Jesus, Do you know what I'm saying? I'm entrusting them to you to watch. Okay? So he's entrusting you with his stuff. Okay? So he's entrusting these servants. He goes on to say, I don't even know if I have slides. I'm just like going. All right. He goes on to say in verse 15, he says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his abilities. Then he went on a journey. Now listen. In this parable, okay, there's 4 sections here that God's talking about. One is the responsibility we have to God in 14 and 15, okay? Then in verse 16, the reaction we need to give God when he asks us to do something. And then in verse 19, it'll show the reckoning we'll have to face. And then in verse 23, it'll show the reward that we'll gain. But the first one is the responsibility we have to God. So he's saying in verse, to one he's given 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Listen, we all have different abilities, don't we? And when it says, when it talks about talent, it's not talking about, okay, I don't have my glasses on. I was like, well, Madison, wasn't she sitting there? It's not talking about, okay, Madison can act, George can do computers, Michael's good at spelunking, you know, or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Flo is good at hang gliding. Neely is good at yodeling. I don't know. What? It's not just talking about those things. It's talking about maybe your mental capacity, your emotional capacity. Yeah. Yes, you can hear her yodel. It'd be very painful. But he's given us different social abilities, right? Some of you guys have got the gift of gab. Some of you guys can work with your hands, or girls can work with your hands. Some of you people, I mean, can listen and pray. He's given us all different things, right? And different privileges, right? Some of you folks have been in. You know, honestly, maybe you couldn't get to a church and all you know is the gospel and you've been a Christian for 20 years and I just know the basics. Some of you have been in good Bible teaching churches where you're growing and strengthening in the Lord and man, I'm zealous for him now. You've been given different opportunities and privileges and whatnot, right? Can I tell you something that I don't even know if I should, but I'm going to share this with you. You know, and those are those talents. I'm giving you 5 talents. I'm giving you 2. Sometimes we don't even realize. Now, we got a little church. We're very down to earth. We're very homey. We're not fancy folks. But we do teach the word here. You know, and twice this happened. I mean, God is so awesome, right? Twice this happened this month, okay? I'm just going to share the blessing. I hope I don't lose the rewards, but I'm doing it to teach, right? Actually, it happened many times. I shouldn't say twice. It happened many times. But 2 times with folks that left. This week, somebody that we ministered 20 years ago, to their family, to their child. We got this little thing in the... I said, oh, it's a card. And I looked who it was from, opened it up, and she's a hairdresser. And she saved all her tips from, I don't remember, Thanksgiving, to whatever, to Christmas. And it was the largest amount she'd ever got. And she said she thought of us and her family and what a blessing, the investment that we made in her family. And after 20 years, just realizing how much we blessed her family. 20 years later, and it was over $1,000 in cash. I just want to give it to you. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you've invested in us. 20 years ago, someone else who's left this church sent us, they've been living away elsewhere in Florida for years now, and said, you know what? When I talk to my husband and I think You guys were always giving away Christian books. You guys were always teaching the word. We can't find a church like that. We didn't, he goes, I'm so sorry we didn't realize what we had. We didn't, we took you for granted. We took the church for granted. We're so sorry. But we want to bless you. Thank you for all the hard work. Gave us $1,000. What? But the work that we do, the talents is what God has given us, and he wants us to use it for him. Now, a talent is actually a weight of money. It's a weight. Okay, so a talent, for those of you who don't know, is about, in the Old Testament time, a talent of weight was 75 pounds. Okay? So in New Testament times, a talent was about 6,000 drachmas, or equivalent to about 20 years' wages. So when he says, I'm giving you... And I'm not good at math. So here's what I just did real quickly. So I figured, okay, $15 an hour, 40 hours, 50 weeks a year. Anyway, it basically comes to 20 years. Okay, $30,000 a year times 20 years. Okay, so it comes up to about $600,000. So for every talent he's giving him $600,000. Wow. So the master is saying, I'm entrusting you with all this, 20 years' wages for you. 100 years' wages for you. I'm entrusting you with this great vast amount, and I want you to make something happen of it. I want you to make something happen. And listen to this. My poor Bible's falling apart, but my life isn't. He goes on to say, I guess I would just have to say this real quickly before I even go to the next part. You know, God wants us to be about his business. Okay? John 5:17 says this. This is when Jesus answered him. He says, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. This was Jesus. He said, I'm always about my Father's business. You see, we're to have that same heart attitude. When you're in that relationship with that knucklehead that's ticking you off, you know who I'm talking about. And you just say, I'm looking for ways to put him and her in her place. No, God is saying, I want you to say how you can magnify me in this situation. I'm always working. And it's each according to his ability. Sorry, one more time, Chris. 1 Corinthians 4:11 says this. God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service to God, but it's the same Lord we're serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but the same God who does the work in and through all of our lives of us who are his. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So God has gifted us all with different gifts and abilities so he can use it together for his glory. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's given us all different amounts. So maybe you're a 5-talent girl. Maybe you're a 10-talent guy. Maybe you're a 3-talent guy like me. Whatever. A 1-talent guy. It's not... God's not interested in just the... He's just interested in you using the abilities and gifts that he's given you, whatever it is. Don't compare yourself to someone else because that's not fair. Yeah, but he gave each one according to ability. You know, and God's so great, if a 1-talent guy got a 5 talents, he'd go crazy with it. If a 5-talent guy got... 1 talent, he'd be so frustrated. He's like, I can do so much more with this. He's given us each according to his ability. So our responsibility is to be about our Father's business and to use what we have, not to make ourselves rich or popular or whatever, but to use it for his glory. Make sense? Mm-hmm. All right. So the next, what we're going to have is the reaction that we need to give God. And we're going to see that in verse 16 here. It says, the man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. What do you think that tells you? The man who received the five talents at once, went and at once put his money to work. What does that tell you about that servant? He's a hard worker? Absolutely. What else does it say? He's faithful. He says, the man who received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. He what?
Didn't think about it.
I'm just going to go do it. I'm going to start working. Listen, can I tell you something? I was talking with somebody. I don't even remember who I was talking about. But as a newly saved person, we can make a lot of mistakes. But you know what? God uses that. Sometimes we think we have to have all this knowledge before we can start ministering. Just go minister. Just speak it. Just live it. Don't be held back. Even through our mistakes, God will use all those. He works all things to the good. Just start working. It says at once he did it. And I love that. That's how we need to react to God. Look at this slide on the screen. And it's the Psalm of David in Psalm 119, 59 and 60. It says, I pondered the direction of my life. Okay. And then I turned to follow your laws. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. That's what we need to be like. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm pondering the draft. What am I doing? I'm handling this the wrong way. What? You know what? I'm just going to trust you. God, you want me to handle it like this? You say, I'm going to pray. You want me to trust you in this situation? I'm going to trust you. You want me to add this to my life? Get this out of my life? Whatever it is, I'm just going to obey you. That's how we need to be. At once he went to work. And I love that. That needs to be our reaction when God asks us to do the things he asks us to do, is to do them at once. And it says it works hard. Listen, for whatever it's worth, this is what the Bible says. Well, now I'm a Christian, and so I just don't want to do anything anymore. I just want to talk about Jesus all the time and have a muffin and coffee. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a muffin and coffee. But God wants us to be working hard. Be about our Father's business. Now, you can be working at a steel mill and love the Lord and be a witness right there. You could be a man of integrity. You could be working at your school. And you don't have to be a liar, a swindler, a cheat. You don't have to laugh at those coarse jokes. You don't have to go the direction everybody else is going, whatever it is. But we need to work hard. That shows, that proves what God's doing in our life. 2 Peter 1:10 says, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you're really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. Now, are we saved by good works? Like, can we work enough to get saved? No, I want to make sure, because there's always new people here. The Bible says it's for grace you have been saved by faith. It's a gift of God. It says, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You're not saved by your good works, okay? There's churches filled with people doing all these good things, thinking, now I'm saved because I'm really a good giver in the church. I'm doing all these. You're not saved because of that. You're saved by grace through faith. But you're also saved because of that faith. You're saved to good works. The Bible says in the next verse, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What a deal he's given you. I'm even prepared good works for you to do. You receive me in your heart. I'll infuse you with my Holy Spirit. I'll give you my heart towards things. And then not only that, I've got all these good works already prepared for you. You just have to trust and obey me and walk with me. And then at the end, after you get my Holy Spirit to empower you and you do the works I've set up for you, I'm going to give you a reward. Hello? It's a pretty good offer. Such a deal. Okay, I'm speeding up for time's sake. it's just such good stuff. Okay. Thank you. It said he wants, verse 17. He says, so also, the one who had two talents, he gained two more. Well, that's 100% return. In other words, when you realize all that God's given you, that's the least you can do, right? It's not like, oh, I got to give God 10%. Oh, I had to talk about him now. It's like, man, I want to give it back. He's given me this life for him. That's the least I can do. He saved me. He loves me. He cares about me, and he wants to even reward me. It's the least I can do. I just want to give back to him with what he's already given me. It's not that the one got five and the other got two, so the guy who got two is worth less. No, they're both returning 100%. Does that make sense? It goes on to say, verse 17, so also the one with two talents gained two more. And verse 18 says, but the man who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Well, on the positive side, he knows it's his master's money. I mean, that's something. There's a lot of people today that have life, breath, walk around, and they wouldn't give God a looky-loo. They don't think about him every day. They don't think, how do I please you? How do I obey you? How can I know you better? They're just like, I want to do my own thing. I don't care. Give me the money. I'm going to use it for myself. Woo-hoo! I'll get saved when I'm 80. I think that shows the wrong heart, don't you? Anywho, it says he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master of his money. Now, I want to tell you something. That was not uncommon back in those days to hide stuff, you know, valuables in the ground. You remember Matthew 13:44? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. So that was not uncommon to hide that stuff under the ground. Verse 19 shows our reckoning. And it says, after a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. After a long time, polos chronos, that means a great amount of time. So he's on this journey, and it seems like everybody's getting tired. When's he coming back? After a long time, it says the master of the servants returned. And make no mistake, he is returning. Listen, hit the lights. Thanks, Chris. Matthew 16:27 says, the Son of Man is going to come again in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Are we making good use of what he's given us? And again, don't compare yourself with others. Maybe they're a five-talent person when I'm only a one-talent person. But I have that one talent, and I could use that. Does that make sense? Yeah? Anyway, thanks, Chris. You can hit the light for a second. Thanks. It says, after a long time, verse 19, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts. And that's an accounting term. In Hebrew, it's sonairo or something like that. And it means, it's an accounting term. It means to calculate. He's like, I'm going to add up. I'm looking at everything you've done. I'm looking at the books. I'm checking it all out. You're not hiding. You're not going to cook the books from me. I'm going to look at everything. Your thoughts, the motivation of your heart. I'm looking at everything. I want to settle those accounts. And then the man who had received five talents, verse 20 says, brought the other five. And master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. And see, I have gained five more. That word see, or some of your Bibles translate it better, behold, that's such a cool term. Because it's almost like surprise and excitement. It's like, wow, God, you gave me this stuff and I invested it and I've gained more. This is so exciting. That's how we're to be. When we're investing in God's business, it's like excitement and surprise. It's the same word Jesus used, John the Baptist used when he saw Jesus coming up to him. "Behold," he said, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's that same thing. He's saying, "God, look, look what I've done. I've invested for you. I've worked for you. And here's the return. I'm so excited about it. It's amazing." Yeah, I am going to. I don't know. Let me see. No, okay. And I love in verse 21, it says this. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Now, the man with two talents also came and said, "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two talents. See, behold, I've gained two more." And his master replied, it's interesting that he said the same thing to him. See, it's not about the amount. You guys get that? The rewards are not based on results. They're based on your faithfulness. He said the same thing to him. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Notice that the five and the two received the exact same reward. That is cool. Each according to their ability. There might be a grandma out there that's praying for their... You know, here I'm talking to all these people, church, school, whatever. But there's a faithful grandma who's ministering to her grandkids. There's a prayer warrior, teenager, who's praying the Dickens for someone. They've been faithful in what God's given, and they're going to get all those rewards too. Oh, yeah, sorry, you had your hand up. Do you grab the mic just for a second?
Like, you know, the same way, you know, God gave the equal amount of reward to, like, you know, the other servant who only had two gifts compared to one to have five. Like, the same way, you know, like, God's the kind of reward, you know, a person who has the right amount of faith and trust in him and prays for other people and ministers to other people. Just the same way, just the same reward he's going to give to people like John Bunyan or Billy Graham, you know, all those people. He's still going to give the same reward. It depends on, it's the heart.
Isn't that neat? To me, that's really cool. Now here's, this is kind of the sad part. Okay, so we saw the responsibility we have, the reaction we need to give God, the reckoning we're going to face, and the reward we'll gain. But here's something that's not very fun, but it's still true and it's still in the Bible. Verse 24, listen to this now as we close out this passage. Then the man who received one talent came. "Master," he said. He's using the same words, right? And listen, if you're around quote-unquote Christians for a long time, you can learn Christianese. Do you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah, praise God, Jesus, Bible. But you can use the same words. But you're going to see the works are different. The actions are different. Do you know what I'm saying? The heart is different. You're even going to see it in this parable. Listen. So verse 24. Then the master who had received the one talent came and said, "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man." That word "new" is in Greek is gnosis, and it means I know by experience. I mean, I really know. I'm absolutely sure. I know who you are. Yeah, this is how God is. And you come across those people all the time. God's doing all this stuff in their life. They don't notice anything. God hates me. He don't love me. He loves everybody else. I know you, God. I know. It says you're a hard man. That word in Greek is sclerosis. Actually, it's scleros. It means hard. It means harsh, like sclerosis. Or my mom used to have a disease called scleroderma, where her skin would harden. The collagen would harden in her skin. And it would harden almost like a rock. It was a terrible disease. It would harden. And he's like, I know you're like, you're a hard man. I know you, God. Now, does that, for those of you who are born again, does that sound, I know you're not merciful, you're not loving, you're not kind to me. Does that sound like the God that you know? Doesn't it sound like the opposite? But I know you're a hard man. I'm even called one of your servants. I even called your master, Lord, Lord. Didn't we not do miracles and prophesy and all this in your name? Woo-woo! And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Zoinks. I know you, God, you're a hard man. And listen to this. Harvesting where you did not sow, where you have not sown, and gathering where you didn't scatter seed. I know you're going to take this money no matter what I do from it. I was just scared of you, so I just figured I'd just leave you alone. I know you're gathering. That's stealing. This guy doesn't know God at all. Yet he's still calling himself a servant, calling him master. He's still working with him. He would be in our church. He would be in our schools. He would be whatever. But he didn't know him. And here's the thing. In verse 25, so I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. Here's what belongs to you. Well, can I tell you what he's really doing? You can tell this guy's not a servant because of his lack and his attack. You can tell he's not a real servant because of his lack and his attack. His lack of works, of fruit before the Lord. God gave him all this stuff, and you know what he's come up with? Excuses. And you know those Christians, right? You know those quote-unquote. He's giving him excuses. And I love, and he's attacking him. The other servants are just grateful. And I love how God kind of calls him out here. In verse 26, he cuts through the chase. You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and I gather where I didn't scatter seed. You knew I was this type of a God. You knew that. Well, then, if that's really true, then should you not have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest? The word there is tokos. That means simple interest, whatever, a percent, something. If you really believe that, you would have at least done that. But really what the deal is you're wicked and you're lazy. Now, laziness, we don't like to think as a sin, but look what the Bible says. And you can read all the Proverbs. We don't have time for it. Lazy people want to get much, but get little. But those who work hard are going to prosper. The Lord has a lot to say about laziness, especially when it comes to him. Those are excuses. You'll always have a million of them, right? Do you know what I'm saying? We all have a million excuses of why we're not doing what we need to do for God. But at the end, when he cuts through, he's going to cut through all that stuff and go right to your heart. Well, I shouldn't make you feel bad. I'll go, Scott. He could probably take. He can go right to your heart, and he'll say, you know what? Wicked and lazy. I don't want to be that. I want to say, well, I want to hear my Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've made a return on the investment. And then listen to this. If that wasn't bad enough, it says, verse 28, it says, now I want you to take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you, where do you think that is? You wicked, lazy servant. Man, oh man. Can I just say what I hear about it? I hear, don't waste your life. Don't squander your resources. Don't use the gifts God's given you to make the kingdom of Darren, the kingdom of me. Use the gifts I've given you to magnify and glorify the King of Kings. The Bible says to do all that we have for his glory. And here, I don't want anybody to feel condemned either. You remember where we started. Maybe you've had a bad year. Maybe you're listening to this, or you listened to last week's, and you're like, man, I am not obeying. I am not using my gifts for him. I'm not seeking him. I'm really, if I'm honest with myself, I'm living for myself. Or I'm living for my wife, or my job, or my friends, or my school, or my whatever. The neat thing about God is his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, he's faithful. See, right now, or tomorrow. Is tomorrow the new year, Gare?
No, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, don't wait till Tuesday. That would be lazy, okay? You can start even today, and you can say, you know what? This is a new morning, a fresh day. Lord, I'm going to open up my Bible, and I'm going to start reading just a chapter a day in the New Testament. And I'm going to start to seek you. I'm going to hide your word in your heart, and I want to learn to start to obey you. I'm going to start going. I'm going to go to that Experiencing God Bible study. I'm going to start obeying you at work. I'm going to start making my life not about me, and I'm going to make it about you. Because I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You can do that today. You can say that to God today. Now, don't put it off. Because the enemy will come in and steal the seed that was sown in you right now. So let's just bow our heads right now. And will you just, in your own words, I'm not even going to give you the words, I'm going to give you just 60 seconds. I just want you to pray. I just want you to ask God to help you to live for him. Ask him whatever's holding you back. Whatever, even to show you what you're really working for. And then to ask him for the strength to help you to change that so that you could live for him. Just ask him, Lord, will you help me to live this year, today, tomorrow, for you, for your glory? Ask him that. And if there's anyone here who does not know you, Jesus, personally, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would receive you in their hearts as Lord and Savior. Lord, will you come into my life, Lord? Will you make me born again? I don't even understand all that that means, but I know I want to live for you, and I know I haven't been doing it, and I know I can't do it without you. Will you help me? I know you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I want to know you. I want to be born again, Lord. Whatever that means, come into my heart, come into my life, and let me see and live differently. For you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Bless this group of people. All those who have come to sit at your feet today. Strengthen them, encourage them, and help us all to live godly lives that honor you. Help us to work for you and for food that doesn't spoil or perish. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.